Prayers this morning, courtesy of your attention for a little while. Got the first chapter of the book of Galatians. Invite you to turn over there. First five verses, Galatians 1, 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Came to service this morning, had a little conversation with Alan Moles just a minute. And he said, "How was your week?" He said he had one of those weeks where he generally feel like a dog chasing his tail all week long. He went round and round in circles. You ever had one like that? So it made me start thinking about what my week was. And I don't usually talk about these things a whole lot, but I think I will this morning a little bit. Last weekend was Wilson family reunion, Table Rock. Everybody who could got together over there. Conflict for me because there's a minister's meeting going on in Worcester, Ohio. But my family have a hard time forgiving me if I missed another family occasion for minister work, so I decided I'd go over there instead of to the minister's meeting. My son-in-law is having work done on his house. He needs to put a carport in the front of it because he converted his carport that he had into a room in the house, and he's got zoning regulations where he lives that requires that every house have a carport, so he knew at some time he'd have to build one. He had construction workers working on his house. He took off, came over to the reunion. Rain came, hard rain. Well, the guys who were working on his house, where they were going to build a carport, I don't know why they did what they did, because they roofed the whole house, but they didn't leave any place for where they're going to tie the carport into the house. But they climbed up on the roof and took a skill saw and cut a line across the side of his roof 20 feet long. And somebody decided the way to keep the rain from getting to that was to take a tarp up there and use duct tape and tape it down to the shingles. And, of course, when the rain came, went right straight through that, and we were lunchtime last Saturday, a week ago, he and I and my grandson were sitting there at the table, and he got a phone call and said, "Dad, the sheetrock just dropped out of the ceiling in the bedroom, and the water's running in down in the house." So he jumped in his truck and started driving back home to Bella Vista. Got caught in the rain and the winds, and he's driving a truck that he just bought, and it knocked branches off the trees and dented up his truck on the way home. So, looked at all that and said, "Those guys don't know how to build that carport. That's why they did that. When you cut a hole in the roof, that's the very last thing that you do. Never do it till you're ready to cover it over." Now he's got a big old mess over there. And he can't make any more deal with him, so he's in a mess. So Roberta talked to him and said, "Well, Ed can fix that." So I told him to go get a tarp big enough to go clear over the ridge of the roof and way out wide, at least 4 feet out on each side of the cut. And put 2x4s over that, and that'll hold it till we can get back over there and do something with it. In the meantime, I got a call. Go to St. Louis. Got 3 field dimensions to do over there. So I said, "Well, that'll hold that roof till the weekend. We'll go over to St. Louis and do these jobs." So I went over to St. Louis and measured the 3 jobs and stayed over there for a while. Worked till 12 o'clock in the morning or so on them. And sent the drawings in. The guy who's looking at the drawings, he wanted changes in them, requirements made, and never had done before. We trace around a bracket that goes in a wall to hose a shelf. Just draw a line around it and send it on him. Scan it and send it in to him. No, he wants that drawn in AutoCAD. And I said, it's not as accurate and takes a lot longer. He said, no, that's the way it's got to be done. Never done it before. No, all right. So we'll get them all back. Get to do them all over again. And in the meantime, daughter-in-law decided she needed to do something all next week. And she's because we're trying to keep the family together the best we can. Sometimes don't feel like we're doing too good. Well, she wanted Roberta to go with her. She doesn't have anybody else, and she can't do it by herself. So we talked about that. Roberta's conflicted because her family's getting together, but here comes this call. She's crying. What am I going to do? We talk about it. So, well, you better go with her because that's the best chance we got. So she's packed up and gone and be gone all this week. That's the way my week's gone. Got phone calls from different ministers during the minister's meeting and after the minister's meeting. Last two or three days, and they're wanting to talk to me about it. They've been stacking up on my cell phone, and I've got about five or six calls on there that I haven't had time to return yet. Having to do with that, I got another call from a minister brother, a message that he sent me about a minister's meeting that I was in 20 years ago. And he wants to reopen that, go through it all again, deal with some of the issues that have to do with it. So I need to work with that as soon as I can. Got a message from another brother, and he's involved in a mission work, and they need a set of bylaws for that. And they want to know if I could sit down and help draft a set of bylaws that would be appropriate to what they're doing in that effort. They got another call from overseas. They called three times in the last 2 days, and I haven't been at the phone when they called yet, but I know there's something hanging fire that I'm going to have to work with about that. Do you ever get into these kind of things? I got another call from a brother. Now, I'm not telling you any of what I have with the local congregation, because that's off limits. I won't talk about that. But just someone else. He called me up and he said, I work at night. He said, any time that you're up during the night, you give me a call because I need some advice. I need it real bad. So I listened to that message and said, well, a lot of people need advice and a lot of other people good at giving advice. But after a while, the phone rang again the third time he called. And I left a message on my cell phone, but had things on my mind, couldn't sleep that night anyway. So I got up about 1 o'clock and he said, well, he said he was available at night. I called him up and he said, yeah, I'll work all night long. I'll be glad for you to visit with me. So he started telling me about the problem that he wanted to have dealt with. And as soon as getting around toward 2 o'clock and Roberta came through the door of my office, and what in the world are you doing? Why are you not in the bed? But I was on the phone, so I couldn't answer her very well. And I got another call from a brother in El Paso, and he wanted to talk about what issues were. And another call from a brother who was in Atlanta, and he is a minister with another group, and he's interested in coming to be with us. They want to know what it takes to come and be with us, and that's important. So we had a played phone tag for a while. Don't have that all taken care of yet. And then another message from a brother. I need to meet with him in Tulsa as soon as I can, and another one in California. Need to go talk to as soon as I can. Probably mean having to go to California, maybe. And I don't like to talk about these things very much, but I was praying about it this morning, thinking, how in the world am I going to do all of this after a while? Now, I feel like, you know, when you got a whole bunch of papers and you just throw them all up in the air and give up and walk away. So I can't keep up with all of this that's going on. We worked on that carport yesterday and got as far as we could, and as soon as I can, I need to go over there this afternoon because my son and my son-in-law are working on it, and they don't know how to set the rafters on it. I got them cut, but they're going to put them up backwards or something if I don't go. And they already got a hole in the roof that should never have been there, and got all this to think about. I said, Lord, I'm praying, kind of feeling sorry for myself. And the Lord said to me, would you rather have affliction? I said, well, no. Well, would you rather have money troubles? No. You're going to have something, because that's the way life is. Everybody that you know has got some kind of battle that they got to face. If I were to say to you, now I've listed to you what some of my troubles are. If I would say to you, what's your battle? You'd have some, wouldn't you? And some of them are no doubt more pressing and more urgent than mine are. I've had affliction, and I'd rather have these kind of troubles. I feel good. I can walk around, all 10 fingers work just great, and I can do whatever I want to with them. It's a big advantage. I've had affliction. I've had them taped up and couldn't use them. And I've had money troubles, too. And that's not any fun at all. Got huge bill coming in and no idea what you're going to be able to do, how to meet the bill. But look at it. All my life now I've been doing this, and here I am. And the Lord has always made a way. And that's my little message this morning. He always will make a way. He'll always make a way for us. So the Lord gave me a song too, but I'm not as good a singer as these other folks, and I don't know it all anyway. So I'm just going to read it to you. It says, like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea, when the storms of life are raging and their fury falls on me, I wonder what I've done that makes this race so hard to run. Then I say to my soul, take courage, the Lord will make a way somehow. The Lord will make a way somehow. When beneath the cross I bow, He will take away sorrow. Let Him have your burdens now. When the Lord bears down so heavy, the weight is shown upon my brow. There's a sweet relief in knowing the Lord will make a way somehow. Doesn't He always do that for you? And you look back at the way your ship went and you say, well, I don't know how I made it. It looked impossible when I got there, and it looks impossible when I look back on it. But here I am. The Lord made a way. The next verse says, try to do the best in service. Try to do the best you can. When I choose to do the right thing, evil's present on every hand. I look up and wonder why that good fortune passed me by. Then I say to my soul, be patient. The Lord will make a way somehow. He surely will. So Paul's testimony about it. The Lord gave me this to encourage me, and maybe it'll encourage you too. Paul, an apostle. Do you believe that? Yes. I'm not an apostle. Far from it. Sometimes I think I'm not much of a minister, and never have respected that title very much anyway. I know that there's an important place, and I don't disregard what the Lord's done. It's always been hard for me to respect a man who made his living with his mouth. I think it's more practical to do it with your hands. Anyway, Paul, an apostle. This is in a different realm. He's not talking about advertising. He's not talking about skill with words. He's talking about called from heaven to give us answers. And I'm glad God's had some of those. I'm not one of them, but I'm glad there have been some. Paul, an apostle. He's been through more than I have, and the Lord gave him things to bless and encourage. Look what he says. Not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ. I believe God's got a called ministry. Yes. I believe that that's not something that you can make up your mind that you want to do and have it happen. I mind a brother one time who was attending a funeral of one of our ministers and heard the preachers talking about the effect that minister brother's life had been and the value of it. So he got a decision and he needed to take that up. And he started and he tried and preached for a while. Eventually, he made shipwreck. He lost everything. You can't call yourself to God's work. No, there's not any committee that can get together and say, now, this one, he's a good speaker. We like him. He's got a good family life. I believe we ought to call him. He ought to be our preacher. You can't do that either. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God. That's who I want as a captain of my salvation and the shepherd of my soul. And I am deeply convinced that God has got ministers in this world who will declare the whole counsel of God, who can't be bought, who can't be suborned, who'll stand for the truth, Whatever comes, whatever goes, God's got some ministers who'll stand for the truth. Paul was one of them. His words reverberate and echo down to us all through the centuries. This is what he was. Not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. He's getting ready to reprove the Galatians. It's only one, wasn't only, I mean to say, one congregation. It is a whole region. He said, to the churches which are at Galatia. How many were there? 15, 20, however many there were. He meant this message to be passed to all of them. And they were in trouble. And he's getting ready to correct them about it. But he sets up the basis for it first. I'm not doing this on my own. I don't have prejudice against you. This is not because of my background or the way I was raised. Or it's not because of somebody came and told me this is what I need to do. Jesus talked to me about this. Now, about as clear a line as we can get on this is what John had when he was in the Isle of Patmos. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard somebody behind me. And I looked around, and there was one. He'd known Jesus 3.5 years, but he sure looked different when John saw him there on the Isle of Patmos. And he said he was shining and told all about the vision. And he said he had in his hand the stars and the candles. And he said, I fell down at his feet as dead. Now, if I got a letter from John the Revelator, and it had that kind of authority behind it, I wouldn't read that and say, well, who's John? He never did like me anyway, so here he's setting me up. That came right from the throne of God. So did this. Oh, you think of it this way. Now, Paul wrote to the Galatian region. There's no city named Galatia. It's a region. It's like saying Missouri. So write a letter to a region, Newton County. No reason to suspect that Paul had any idea that this letter would survive. And he probably wouldn't have had it not been for God's angel. I mean, it's written on parchment. That doesn't last. And there were no printing presses. The only means anybody had to preserve it was just to copy it over by hand, which they did 15, 20 times that we know of, and sent it out to different places. And when the centuries went by and people were trying to destroy all of it, God helped people to hide it in loaves of bread and in stacks of hay, and people gave their lives to preserve it so that you and I could have it. It was more than just for those folks. It's for you and me. Oh, Brother Paul, he never even heard of anybody named Ed Wilson. Had no idea that such a fellow as I am would ever exist, much less that I'd ever be worried about my son-in-law's hole in his roof. I don't think that ever crossed Paul's mind. But the Lord gave him something to reach down through the centuries to help where my need is and your need. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. I think preachers ought to preach the word. Stories are interesting, and experiences people have can be uplifting. But there is nothing like the Bible, folks. It's got power, and it's got life in it, greater than anything else. We need to counsel. We need to teach and preach from the Word of God. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Yeah. Can't tell you all that means to me, but I'm sure going to try. Sometimes the devil comes and tells me there's nothing to it anyway. Maybe he never talks to you that way, but he does to me. And sometimes my feelings get low. And sometimes I wonder if anybody's hearing me when I pray. But this man of God said about Jesus Christ that he was raised from the dead by God the Father. That convinces me. That's as strong as we're ever going to get it. Religion always requires a step of faith. This is as strong as we're ever going to get it. That when we get to that last moment, there is a life beyond the grave. There's something more than this. There is an eternal God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And the same one who raised him from the dead, that one who was raised said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's available to you and me too. It's worth whatever we have to go through in this world. It's not always easy. And I look at my troubles and say, well, some of them I brought on myself. My wife tells me that from time to time. So you deal with the people in a way that makes them want to call you. And so that's why you have these calls that you need to answer at 1:30 in the morning. And some probably she's right about some of them. Probably I need to change some of that. And I don't know. But the Lord has mercy on me in spite of my foolishness. You ever had that experience? Well, it's not so bad to have the Lord go with you. And in the end, when I've come with my old foolish, ineffective ways, down to the end, be able to meet the one who called Paul, of whom this testimony is given. It was not called by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Now, I like that phrase. All the brethren who are with me. I'm not in this thing alone, and neither are you. Paul traveled with a company. I believe in missionaries traveling with a company. A voice and 10 or 15 folks getting up in the pulpit and singing is more effective than one man standing up there trying to preach and teach and sing and do it all by himself. It's a confirmation. There are other people besides you who believe this. We need that in the community. Here I am dealing with folks in this community, and I talk to the kinds of people who are around us, lawyers and doctors and businessmen and I haven't been here all that long compared to you, but all I have to do is mention two or three names and the thought processes start tumbling. And these people say, oh yeah, I know them, I know that one, and I know that one. Then the way that you have lived and your ancestors have lived in this community start having a bearing. And they put me in a category with these people, and rightly they should. We need one another. We're going to heaven together. If we get to heaven, we're going to have to go with the people who are going. Well, we make choices in this world, and I have chosen to be one of these people. By God's grace, intend to live and die this way. All the brethren which are with me. That means if one of them gets in trouble, and do what I can to try to help them out. John Mark, get tired of this and decide you better go back home. Well, Paul had to do something about that, but there came a time when Paul said, bring him along. We've worked with him now, and he's ready, and it'll work out. The Lord's got a place in His body for every one of us and something for us all to do. All the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That word grace is in the Bible a lot. And it means a whole bunch of different things. And it gives me the comfort and answer to what I need, to what I face in life. I don't think my trouble's necessarily greater than yours. I just had the opportunity of the pulpit to tell you about mine for a few minutes. Anyway, the Lord spoke to me about grace. Let me read you some of the other places, just a few of them where that word's used in the Bible. Just in the New Testament. Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor. And the word favor is translated from the same word that we have grace here. You found grace. Remember Noah, the scripture said he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All the world to be destroyed. God spared Noah and his family because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. To find favor, to find grace in God's eyes. Grace, in that sense, to be a gracious person means to be cultured. It means to have class. It means to be noble. It means to be upright. Mary was favored of the Lord. He looked Mary, and I've often wondered about that. Have you ever wondered about that? How did he pick out Mary? He's looking at every one of us. He knows what you've done and where you think, and what I think. To have the Lord pick you out and say, I want to use you. Wouldn't that be a valuable thing? It was for Mary. Well, Luke 2:40 has it this way. And the child grew and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus increased in favor or grace with God and man. Acts 2:47 has it this way, having favor with all the people. That means grace. I'd like to have enough of the grace of God in my soul so that no matter how many phone calls come, if my wife have to go deal with one problem, I have to go deal with another one. Oh, I forgot to tell you, when I got home last night and sawdust all over me and dirty and got in, took my shower and climbed out, and the water stopped working. I had to go figure out what was the matter with the water. It was already 11 o'clock at night. It had been raining, the grass was wet, and I didn't want to have to go fool with it. But that's life. Grace. The Lord wants us to have enough grace, so you have to go out at night, 11 o'clock at night, after everything else gone wrong, and see what's the matter with something else. You can do it with a sweet spirit. And my little message to you this morning is that Paul, who was an apostle of Jesus Christ and understood these things, pronounced a benediction on all the churches in Galatia, and by association, on you and me too. Grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So bring your trouble to the Lord, folks. And I can't tell you that it'll all go away. And if it does, after a while, you have some more. Because that's life. But bring him to him anyway. Because he doesn't all take it away while he's here, but he always gives you grace. He'll never let you have one if there's no grace for you to bear. Grace be to you. The favor that was on Jesus, that be to you. What he had when he saw Mary, that be to you. I'm not that kind of man. I just don't have that in me. But when the Lord saved me, he changed me. I got baptized because that old man's dead and we put him away. Don't deal with him anymore. I don't know who I'd be without the grace of God. I've been trying to walk in that grace a long time, and it's changed me in ways that I never anticipated it would. And I don't know who I'd have been by now if I hadn't been living for the Lord. I wouldn't be me. And you probably wouldn't want to be around me, and I probably wouldn't want to be around you. I visited Alcatraz prison one time years ago and saw a little clip. One of the guys who'd been an inmate there, he said, while I was there, I hated every living thing, green grass and birds and everything else. And I thought, what a horrible, dark spirit. But I thought, there but for the grace of God, goes Ed Wilson. That's what made the difference. I don't even know who I'd be. Do you? But grace. Grace made the difference. Grace be with you. Not from just me. From God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us need to have our own private fountain of grace, where we go and drink it every morning. And every one of us need to have our public place where we come together and drink together of the grace of God. Isn't it amazing how that works? You come and the Lord bless your soul and the grace starts bubbling up in you, and the next thing you know, you call a song or you testify or you lead out in prayer or some other demonstration of it, and I'm sitting there watching and I've been having my battles, but the grace spills over on me and mine spills over on the next person. After a while, the whole meeting starts to catch fire. I've sat here in this congregation many times on a prayer meeting night and seen things start out slow and wonder if anybody's going to get up and testify. And then finally somebody does get up and say a little bit, and it ignites the next person, and that fire catches somebody else on fire. 30, 45 minutes go by, or sometimes a little bit more, and I look at it and say, well, this was a good meeting. I thought at first, man, we weren't going to do anything at all. We're going to have a Quaker meeting where everybody just sit there. Before it was over, everybody had a little something to add, and we all went home refreshed. And you can see the evidence of it, because when the meeting's over, the folks like to stand around and talk and enjoy one another. It's like we get so much out of it, don't want to turn it loose yet. Grace from God the Father. Grace. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Corinthians, the grace of God which is given you. Grace is a gift. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Or you could say, grace is the Lord himself, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Acts 13:43 has it this way, and I like this one. Barnabas persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Have you ever had the devil try to persuade you to give up the grace of God? Well, I have. And it helps every once in a while to have a Barnabas come along and just lift you up and refresh you. Look what the Lord's done for me, and he wants to do something for you too, brother. You can win this victory. All of us can. That's Barnabas' message. He persuaded them. Maybe they were faltering a little. Maybe they got tired. Maybe their knees hurt because they go to meeting and pray too long. You ever had that experience? You need somebody to come and refresh you with grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared. For the scripture said, looking diligently, lest any man fail from the grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Galatians 5 and 4 says, you're fallen from grace. I don't want that one to happen to me, do you? I say through the grace given unto me. Now that's a good one for husbands to use with their wives. Come home, don't like the way your wife did something, or some situation arise that irritates you, or some other life little contretemps come along, to be able to say to your wife, I speak to you now, wife, through the grace given me by the Lord Jesus Christ. My feelings are somewhere else. But I'm not talking to you by my feelings. I'm a saint. I'm a Christian. If I feel bad at my wife, the place for me to be is not talking to my wife. He's talking to my Maker. He's got some grace to give me. Makes it all different. Grace and peace from God the Father is a very valuable and blessed thing. Let your speech be always with grace. Well, that's just part of them. I haven't even started on peace yet. Let's talk about peace. Peace. When you think of peace, you think of getting along with people, don't you? Ephesians has it this way, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Or 1 Corinthians, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. I was looking at all of these responsibilities and duties and things I needed to deal with this last week. I thought, I need some peace. I need some answers. Well, they're never going to come over the telephone or any other kind of messages that are coming in. I got to get my peace on my knees from the Prince of Peace. Where the Lord is, there's peace. There's confusion where the devil is. Where the Lord is, there's peace. He is our peace, the author of concord in our lives. He came and preached peace to you which were far off. The Lord has come, so says Luke 1:79, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said, how oft would I have gathered you together if only you'd know the things which belong to your peace. That's broad. That reaches a long ways. There are troubles that I don't need to hear. I can't solve them. And it does me no good to get involved in them. And I just leave it with the Lord. If I knew the things that belonged to my peace, having boundaries in my home, that brings peace. Realizing some things belong to my wife, some things belong to the Lord, some things belong to the responsibility of the church, and some things belong to my children, and being able to keep those in my mind so that I understand my priorities. How to work with it. You understand what I'm saying? When the question comes, shall I go to meeting or shall I stay home with my family? I can get in confusion over that. Upset my mind. It's an advantage to me to know the things that belong to my peace. And that's just boundaries. Oh, to know to leave sin alone. Sin is a great destroyer of peace. To know to leave alcohol alone. To leave drugs alone. To leave hatred alone. Variance and wrath and strife, to leave it alone, to stay away from it, to get something from the Lord that changes me about it. It brings peace. If you'd known the things that belong to your peace. So I say, Lord, I want more peace. Help me to understand all there is to know. I don't want to destroy my own peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Or this one, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not looking for a chance to condemn you, folks. People fail. People are human. People make mistakes. The Lord's not looking for a chance to kick you out of the church. He is a God of peace. And He is going to do what He can to help us, everyone, go to heaven the best way that can be done. Thank God for His great mercy. He gave Himself for our sins, and He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. I know time slipped away, but you got to listen to me for a minute on this one. Being delivered from this present evil world. I'm old now. I've learned to hate sin. I hate what it's done to my family. I hate what it's done to those I love. I hate what it's doing to our country. When I was young, I wasn't wise enough to understand these things. I grew up during the Vietnam generation. And I grew up when the hippies took their route that changed the United States and the world to a large degree. And I don't like what came out of it. I remember Kent State. Maybe not many of us remember Kent State. It was one of the first of those kind of events. Average American National Guardsmen, policemen didn't know what to do. Riots on campus. Lined up there, and for the first time, the students were using the filthiest, nastiest kind of language and inappropriate behavior. People in America didn't do things like that. Guardsmen were shocked by the things that were going on, and they felt threatened. And so finally they fired a volley and killed five or six people and set the nation on fire. All the protests that came out of that, I don't like the way that sin has affected all of those changes. And what's going on in our Supreme Court? There's an endless list of it, the changes, but I can't change it. I need one bigger than me to keep me from the evil that's in the world. First of all, from it contaminating my soul. Many of those people are smarter than I am. And I'm not any better able to protect myself from getting spirits in me that make me see things in a backward or wrong way, that make me compass my own behavior, my own life, destroy my own soul. I'm not wise enough to prevent that. I need to be saved. I need somebody to deliver me and change my heart and help me see the right way to go. That's what He promised to do. He'd keep us from the evil of this present world. When that's happened, I can't deal with the tide of it. I don't have the ability to protect myself from the consequence of shame and sin and evil in others. I'll give you a slight little example. I got a whole truckload of tools on the back of my truck right now. And I have to stop in Walmart's parking lot. I don't have any good way to protect them. So, yeah, I know you got to do this on a limited basis, and maybe you do it differently, but I say a little prayer. Lord, I'll get in out of here as quick as I can. Will you please not let somebody steal my power handsaw while I'm gone? I don't have a good way to protect it, and I don't know how many times the Lord's watched over me. 40 years of doing this, and only one time somebody stole some tools out of my truck, about $700 worth, and the Lord blessed me, and I was able to get that back. That's being protected from this present evil world. I know people who have family members who were murdered. And people have had their houses broken into. And I won't say it can't happen to me. But I will say that I have the right to ask the Lord to protect me from this present evil world. Somebody, Brother Stan, was talking to me about some new way that somebody's found for opening locks. No lock you can get nearly safe from these kind of burglars. So we talked about that a while, and said it cost him about $200 a lock to make that so it was safe. And I thought, well, there's a glass window right there beside it. If I got the lock safe, all I got to do is take a rock and throw it through the window and they're in the house. It's 2 minutes work to do it. I can't really protect my house. Nobody's there this morning. Anybody at your house? Who's watching over it? We need the Lord to protect us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. No matter what your problem is, today I've had these things I mentioned to you. Some of you got affliction. I tell you honestly, I'd rather have mine than yours. And some of you probably got some money troubles or other things. Praise the Lord anyhow. He'll make a way for you. He knows where you are. Grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention this morning. Amen.